More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have got a lot to cover, including what's happening in the Trump trial and shock happening there live on TV as a man set himself on fire in front of the courthouse where Donald Trump's jury trial is underway. He doused himself in heavy gasoline, then set himself on fire. This all caught live on CNN. As the man stood, was on fire, then started to fall to the ground, then fell to the ground. Then finally, there was people there to come over to try to put out the flames. Now, all of this is happening, and this is actually the second time we've seen this recently. We saw a man that identified himself as an American service member who set himself on fire. He died, setting himself on fire in front of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Clearly, this is one of those things where one person does it and then others follow suit. This is, I'm assuming, part of Trump derangement syndrome of those that are psychotic that are now thinking their best way to protest Donald Trump is to set themselves on fire and take their own life. Now, we're going to have more on the trial coming up in a moment. But let me say this first. One of the reporters today, and this made me laugh, they were reporting on the jury selection. And the reporter actually said, like, the truth here. We know that about 90% of the people in Manhattan voted for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. And the reporter came out and said this: potential Trump jurors are more left of center than not. Yeah, no crap. Thanks for telling us that, New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman, saying potential Trump jurors more often than not lean politically left. Well, when you win 90% of the vote in a certain area, and that's where you're pulling the pool of jurors from, of course they're going to be leaning left, which is exactly why they brought the charges in New York City. Haberman's statement confirms a widely held fact among Republicans that former President Donald Trump will, in fact, not receive a fair criminal trial in Manhattan. President Joe Biden, and I want to make sure that the fact checkers understand these numbers, so I'm going to give you the exact data here. President Joe Biden won over 86% of the Manhattan vote in 2020, so basically around 90% if you're rounding up. One thing that's been striking during this round of jury selection is there's a lot of people who, based on their answers, are more left of center than not politically, wrote Haberman, who doubles as a political analyst for CNN when she's not writing propaganda for the communist New York Times. But some seem to be trying to show they consider alternative viewpoints, and others seem to want to show they believe in the concept of jury service as independent from personal opinion, she added, which, whether that's actually true or not, we may never know. The reason why I say that is they could just be lying because they hate Trump and they want to get on the jury. Now, Jonathan Turley, who's on Fox News Channel, he also had what he described as his biggest concern, and that is Trojan horse jurors, those that desperately want to get on this trial to then convict Donald Trump. Take a listen to this that he had to say on Fox News Channel.
Thank you, Jonathan Turley, joining us now, a constitutional law attorney and a Fox News contributor. So we started the day with seven jurors. We are now down to five. Jonathan, what do we need to know right now?
Well, this is really a part of this entire play in that you've got a jury pool that is really heavily weighted, obviously, with people who have strong opinions against Trump. Only about 12% of the people in this area voted for Trump. The jurors you have to worry about are the ones who are sort of Trojan horse jurors, or the ones who are hiding bias that doesn't appear on social media or involved in any formal charges like the one that was just removed today. Those are the ones you have to worry about, that they're so motivated by their dislike for Trump that they're willing to lie on the stand. Now, we have seen jurors who have later been found to have misrepresented their histories in a couple of prior cases involving Trump associates. In both those cases, the judges in Washington, D.C. refused to reconsider the verdict. And so this is a very important stage to try to filter out these types of jurors.
That being said, on the case itself and where this all goes, Jonathan, this is Andrew Drukowski on ANR this morning on Newsroom on the high burden of proof for the prosecutors in this case. Jonathan, let's listen together.
There are two layers of specific intent that the prosecutors have to establish in order to convict Donald Trump. And that's a very difficult thing to do. It's even more difficult when they don't have direct evidence of it. Donald Trump expected to testify. He said he's going to do that. Certainly he'll deny his own mental intent here.
Do you agree with all that, Jonathan?
It's certainly true that the problem with the intent here is that there's lots of reasons why you would want to pay hush money. He was married. He had a leading television program. And yes, he had ambitions for the presidency. But this entire indictment is based on his intent to try to conceal a crime. It's very ambiguous what that crime is, because the federal government didn't consider this a crime, an illegal campaign contribution. So the entire thing is rather murky, and the jury's going to have to deal with that. The irony here is that the legal system itself has really failed in this regard. The district attorney, who once refused to move forward on this case, yielded to pressure. The courts have allowed this to go forward, even though many of us have said that it's absurd. And so the New York legal system is now relying on average people, frankly, to have a redemptive moment, to say, my God, I mean, this is, we have to say enough. Where's the crime here? And that will come down to his intent. And keep in mind, you're going to have his former lawyer telling this jury, send my former client to jail for following my legal advice. How many cases do you know of where that's happened?
Really interesting. I'm looking down at my computer because we're getting some pool notes out of the courtroom, going back to the jury selection and just how difficult it is going to be. To remind our audience, they need 12 jurors and six alternates in total. We know we started the day with seven. We're down to five. We got word just a short time ago out of the courtroom that a male who raised some concerns about a strong opinion about the former president, Donald Trump, has been excused. That was a prospective juror. Adding to that, from the pool notes just now, the male juror that was just excused was excused after explaining he was born and raised in Italy, saying the Italian media have had a very strong association with Mr. Trump, and Silvio Berlusconi, adding it would be a little hard for me to retain my impartiality and fairness. He has now been excused. Jonathan, your reaction before we let you go.
By the way, let me just jump in here because I wanted you to hear his well-thought-out point here. Number one, the federal government refused to prosecute this case because they said there basically was no case there. And then... As he just described there, this whole case hinges around his former attorney, whose advice he took, who's then saying, convict my former boss, right? My former, not boss, client, who I gave legal advice to, and I paid a payment. And now I want you to send him to jail. Not me to jail. No, no, no. I want you to send him to jail. Do you notice that? That's what they're now saying. They're saying we want to move him to jail, which is put him in jail, not me, him in jail, which is totally insane. And yet here we are having that exact conversation We're having a conversation about not being able to find jurors that will be honest, that are not biased. And that is, and even the New York Times is saying, yeah, this is really hard. Like, everybody seems to be leaning to the left here, right? Like, I mean, let me give you another example. There's a new report that has just come out that the judge allows a juror to be on this jury after there was protests from Trump's lawyers who celebrated Trump's loss in the 2020 election to stay in the pool. Does that sound like a judge that's trying to be unbiased? This New York Supreme Court justice reportedly allowed a juror who celebrated when Trump lost to be in the jury selection. That was not something that would, you know, say, hey, that's just too biased, right? So if that's the pool that you're coming from, it is shocking. Trace Gallagher said, quote, they want to have a challenge, a preemptive challenge to excuse a juror because they thought that she said she could be impartial, but had social media posts that apparently had her celebrating Trump losing in 2020. And so they challenged her, and the judge said, nope, she can be impartial. She stays, quote unquote. So there you go. If you don't think the deck is stacked against the President of the United States of America right now, you're wrong.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Democrat Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, that charged Trump with 34 felonies and accused him of falsifying documents to conceal a scandal. This trial is the first criminal trial of a president of the United States of America. And they're doing it in a place where basically 90% of the voters in that place voted against Donald Trump. Only about 1/3, by the way, of U.S. adults in the latest poll believe that Trump did something illegal regarding this specific case. Not in general, like this specific case. And the federal government refused to take on this case because they said there's no crime that's being committed here. So what is this? This is another attempt, the same way that would happen in Russia or China or any other communist or Marxist country, to take out your political opponent by locking them up. And if you look at what Donald Trump has had to go through, his property was almost seized recently. They set a bail that was like 100 times higher than Bernie Madoff, who actually ran a multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme. The biggest Ponzi scheme in American history, to put it in perspective. And Donald Trump had to come up with more money to get out of jail, right? Or more money to put up to appeal, I should say, than that guy, Bernie Madoff, had to put up, which is totally insane. Now, I want to move to something else that's happening on the House side, and it's important, and it deals with foreign aid. There are a lot of people that are really upset right now, calling it a uni party. Speaker Mike Johnson, this is how it's being described by some, and I say some because I want you to understand my viewpoint, and I'm going to give it to you in a second, but I want you to understand what many are saying right now. They're saying that Mike Johnson is a turncoat. He is a man who has surrendered. He is a man that has bowed down to the left. Democrats seize control of the House floor. Another conservative website put it that way. Democrats are in the minority no longer. In a stunning historical development on Friday, Democrats seized upon a Republican surrender to take control of the agenda of the House floor. An astonishing 165 Democrats voted for a rule from Speaker Mike Johnson to allow a $100 billion foreign aid supplemental package to the floor on Saturday. That will be a shock to many. The House will hold four votes on final passage for each of those packages, including a Ukraine funding bill with tens of billions of American taxpayers' dollars going to Ukraine. Minority party members rarely vote for a procedural rule to allow the majority party's agenda to proceed through the House. Doing so in such numbers is widely unprecedented. History was first made on Thursday, just before midnight, when for the first time in recorded history, since the House began keeping records, the House Rules Committee relied on minority party votes to overcome objections from the majority and advance a rule bill to the House floor. The powerful House Rules Committee, known for generations as the Speaker's Committee, for the control the Speaker of the House possesses over the committee and its reputation as a rubber stamp for the Speaker's agenda, sets the floor agenda for the House through what is known as the rules. So what happened? Johnson disregarded history. He abandoned his own party, despite its majority. It is slim, yes, with more Democrats voting to advance the House agenda than Republicans. The minority party has effectively taken control over bills that will come before the House. Now, not every bill, but these four. In the end, 151 supported the rule with only 39 Republicans in opposition. The final tally was 316 to 94. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is a messenger in the minority no longer. He's taken over. That is how it was described by Breitbart. Now, you can jump on that bandwagon and you can ride that train. And there are some that are doing it. In fact, more Republicans now are saying, yes, they are now open to supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate the speakership if she forces the vote. Eli Crane now saying he's with her. Now, Representative Eli Crane is a Republican from Arizona. He said that he would be open to supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate the chair against Speaker Johnson if she were to make it privileged. Crane's comments came in a press gaggle with reporters shortly after Johnson enlisted the help of Democrats to pass his rule in locking foreign aid votes on multiple bills, a rule that hardline conservatives like Crane opposed vigorously. If Congresswoman Greene were to trigger a vote on the resolution, you would consider supporting it, a reporter asked Crane. He responded with, quote, I'm open to it. My position is that I'm open. I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm going to do, and we'll see if that materializes. We'll see if the trigger is pulled on this. That won't be up to me, but I'm definitely frustrated, like a lot of the conference and a lot of the American people. Now, Green's motion to vacate, which is now co-sponsored by Representative Thomas Massey, a Republican from Kentucky, is not privileged, meaning the House does not immediately have to take it up. Okay, so this is when the House rules and how they work are extremely important to understand. Asked if he had spoken with Greene about her motion to vacate, which could make privilege at any time and force the House to consider it within 2 days. Crane said he had not. He has, however, had communication with Johnson over his, quote, frustration, saying this. He knows how frustrated I am. And I do it as respectfully as I can. But I'm not going to pull punches because at the end of the day, this is so much bigger than me or a motion to vacate or Speaker Mike Johnson. To me, this comes down to, are you going to try and save this country? Or are we just going to continue on with the Washington Uniparty that continually sells out the American people? Crane further noted that there is a, quote, sense that there's a souring to House Republican leadership that goes beyond the House Freedom Caucus, based on the conversations he is hearing from the conference and around the conference, saying this: I think that the speaker should take that seriously. I think he's been told every way that we know how, and we'll see how he does with that. Crane's comments come as his Arizona colleague, Representative Paul Gosar, a Republican from Arizona, announced he would back Green's motion after Johnson surrendered operational control of the House to the Democrats. Now, this is one of those moments that is actually way more complicated than people want to admit. And let me explain what I mean by that. We have an insanely slim majority in the House. And what that does is it gives every member a lot more, I think the fair way to put it is probably power than they've ever had before. There is no unity within the Republican Party because there's so many Republicans in Washington, D.C. that are grandstanders. Democrats understand how to stay together, okay? Democrats understand how important it is to unify on certain issues. And what's happened now is Republicans that want to get famous, the easiest way to get famous is to come out like Marjorie Taylor Greene and say, hey, I'm going to get rid of every Republican speaker that doesn't do what I tell them to do. That's what it really boils down to. It's actually that simple. And so you have a few Republicans now that have been able to really beat their chests and really stick it, right? really stick it to the leadership when they don't get what they want and they get to threaten exactly what you just heard, right? Well, we're going to get rid of you. It's exactly what happened to the last Speaker of the House. And then we had others that tried to become the Speaker and then they weren't able to even get the votes to be the Speaker. So then there was this compromise on Johnson. And now the same people that said Johnson's way better than Jim Jordan or anybody else, we find out they hate him now. You are set up to fail because of the media and social media now with this little of a majority with a Republican Party that doesn't understand how to actually lead. Or let me rephrase that. There's enough people that don't understand how to actually lead on the issue. That's the real problem here. Okay. Like number one, that's it. Democrats understand when you have a small majority, you don't act like it. You unify on everything and you act like you are lockstep on every issue and you figure it out behind closed doors and then you walk out completely and utterly united and you do not flinch. Well, that is not what has been happening here at all. That's number one. Number two on this, and the other point that has to be made is, if Mike Johnson doesn't make it, and then the last guy, Kevin McCarthy, doesn't make it. And I was in favor of getting rid of McCarthy. I just think he was an egotistical jerk and he didn't work well with others and he wanted to dictate and that didn't work. But I warned you, I said, if they do it again to Mike Johnson, then we've lost total control of the House and Democrats are laughing all the way into November. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats are the majority party come November, because there's some Republicans that we've already witnessed that have already just quit. They say, I'm done with this. I'm wasting my time. We're getting nothing done here. I'm basically a useful idiot right now for this country because of a few psychos in the Republican Party. Now, I also don't believe they're patriots. I believe they are basically the equivalent of a political suicide bomber. If I don't get what I want, I will blow up the entire system. And now they've blown up the system, it looks like, not just once, but they're about to do it all over again. So why would anybody want to be the Speaker of the House, the Republican, after this guy? Because as soon as you do something that one of these narcissistic crazies don't like, they're just going to get rid of you.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One part of my job that I actually have enjoyed is going back to Washington, D.C. a fair amount for the work that I do with Senator Cruz on the podcast Verdict with Ted Cruz. I co-host with him. And when I'm there, I do my best to spend quality time with elected officials to see what's going on, hear what's going on, dealing with issues, border security, etc. And that's been extremely helpful. And there's several conservatives that I have an incredible amount of respect for that have said to me that many of these members have been there a while. They're like, this, we're getting nothing done. It's completely stagnant. The work that we're doing is pretty much getting hijacked every time because it's not conservative enough for the people. And so when they say that something isn't conservative enough for them, right? Then immediately what they do is they say, all right, well, we're going to get rid of you as a speaker. And they put a gun to their head. And so what's happening is we're watching conservatives just quit. They're not finishing out their terms. Now, you can describe some of them as like, hey, that shows just how self-serving you are in general. And there's some that have done that. They've quit knowing they're going to put the Republican Party in a worse spot with a slimmer majority. There's others that say, but if you were having to deal with what we're dealing with behind the scenes each and every day, you would understand why they're saying, they're throwing their hands up going, I can't deal with someone like a Marjorie Taylor Greene. I can't deal with a Lauren Boebert, for example. I'm done. We're not doing anything. I'm flying up here every week and I'm wasting my time. There is some truth to that if they get rid of Johnson this quickly. I don't know who is going to want to try to take that job next that's a serious individual. And look, some of this is just revenge. There are people like Matt Gaetz that don't like some of the Republicans, and because of partially the investigations into him, ethics investigations into him, and this is his way of settling the score. This is his way of basically blowing up the building, saying, okay, watch this. You guys, let them investigate me and didn't stop it. I'm taking all of you on. Now, he's fighting more with the Republican Party than he's ever fought with the Democratic Party. And I don't think that's what his job should be. Now, some say do it, right? Go to town and fight all these people and fight every war you can get your hands on and just do it and go all in. I don't believe that that's the wise thing to do here. I think that's a very naive thing to do. I think it's incredibly selfish. And that's the reason why I said in government, you don't always get what you want. You have to sometimes compromise. Now, I wish Republicans could stick together. They do have the majority. They could do a lot of things. But everybody right now with such a slim majority has way too much power to walk away and destroy everything. And they're leveraging that power for their own selfish reasons. And they're not playing as a team. That is of the moderates and that is of the extreme conservatives. I want to make that clear. Both ends of the spectrum are doing this right now. They are holding the entire system hostage. This is going to end up being a disaster. And I predict that if Johnson goes, that there is a very good chance that there will be others that just resign from Congress. Do not wait till November to resign. And as they resign, then all of a sudden you could have the Democrats be in charge of the House, Senate, and the White House because the Republicans handed it to them. That should make every one of us furious. It should make every one of us extremely angry. We gave them the majority and they have screwed it up. And if they hand over all of this to the Democratic Party, make no mistake, they are going to ram through their radical socialist communist agenda for the last 6-7 months, 8 months of the year, whenever this may happen, because there will be nothing that we can do to stop them. They will do everything they can to implement socialism and communism and open border policies and amnesty and whatever they can get their hands on. Because why wouldn't you if you're in this scenario, in this situation? And the only people we have to blame is the Republicans that quit, the moderates, and the extreme wing of the Republican Party that refuse to understand that sometimes in government, you actually don't always get what you want. You have to fight for the best deal that you can get. Because Congress has hundreds and hundreds of people that have to vote. And when the hundreds and hundreds of people vote, there is not always going to be the outcome that you want or the perfect bill. I would argue there's no perfect bill in Congress. Because if Congress is working the right way, not everybody got exactly what they wanted. Right? Remember when Obamacare happened? There were Democrats that were mad because they thought it didn't get you to socialize medicine fast enough. And one size fits all healthcare for every American. There were Democrats that were furious. They're like, look, we've got a supermajority in essence. We should just be socializing the entire system and not allowing for healthcare and the private sector to exist at all. Now, did they blow up the system because they didn't get exactly what they wanted that day? No, they realized it was a massive step towards socialized medicine, so they took it. Republicans need to go back and look at that scenario and realize you're not going to get everything you want. You might get some pretty good stuff that you want. But if you keep governing this way, we are going to squander our majority in the House. We're going to squander our opportunity. And we're going to squander the ability for us to defend and protect this country from the socialists and communists that are running it in the House, Senate, and the deep state. Now, let me move on to something else that's important right now as well. And I want to bring this up because it's so important. Senator Ernst urged Biden to step up against Iranian aggression after Israel's counterattack. And it was an interesting point that he made, and I want you to hear it because the White House is not standing really with Israel right now. Listen.
Israel has, in fact, punched back at Iran by launching a limited missile attack overnight. And so today we are spending so much time trying to figure out what is next, and we will watch things closely. It is nightfall in that part of the world already. President Biden reportedly had told Israel to take the win. We've been reporting that for days after Iran last Saturday targeted the Jewish state with missiles and drones. So is this back and forth now between those nations leading the Middle East into a wider war? And how would it affect us? Senate Republicans are accusing the White House of being too soft on crime by Iran, you might say.
President Biden has consistently failed to push back on the Iranian regime.
The kind of parade of horribles you just mentioned, Trey, I want to stress, is happening because Joe Biden has projected weakness all around the world.
Make absolutely no mistake, Iran is not deterred. It is actually emboldened.
A New York Post opinion piece with this headline: instead of pushing regime change in Israel, Biden should support it in Iran. It argues every approach to curtailing Iran from its threats and behavior toward Israel and other countries has failed. A future U.S. administration can make it clear to Israel that America supports undermining and overthrowing the Tehran dictatorship. Republican Iowa Senator and Army combat veteran Joni Ernst. Senator, thank you for being on the program today. First of all, are we inching our way closer to a wider war in the Middle East?
Well, that is not a foregone conclusion, Harris. And what we do know is that Israel, when they were attacked over the weekend by Iran, saw the response from a number of other Arab countries that actually stepped up to defend their own airspace and Israel's interests. So I am with Israel. I am thankful that they did go ahead and strike Iran. They retaliated just as they should. But what Iran needs to keep in mind is that there is a very strong group of Arab nations that do support Israel. They don't agree with the attacks by Hamas on October 7th. They are in the Abraham Accords. We know that Saudi Arabia is trying to move forward with their own plans with Israel to strengthen ties. So I think Iran needs to be very careful about this. They need to think carefully. But President Joe Biden's got to step up. He can't continue to appease Iran.
Well, look, so far he only knows four words: don't and take the win. and none of those words are helping the situation. But what does it mean when you tell an ally to just take it when an enemy hits that ally?
Well, it's absolutely unacceptable, in my opinion, Harris. President Joe Biden shouldn't be bowing down to the Iranian regime. He shouldn't be telling the Israelis how they should be fighting their war. What he should be doing is saying, Israel, we will stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Whatever you need, we're on call.
You notice she says we should be standing. And what we're saying clearly is they're not standing with Israel. The Biden administration has said, you just, like, sorry, like, like, you guys, like, we're not standing with you, okay? Like that's not happening. We're not going to stand with you. This is something that will not happen. And that is the problem here. We have a country that came back with a limited response. If anything, you'd think the White House would have come out and praised them for it. They did not. They did not praise them at all for this. There was nothing that they did that praised them, which is the other part of the problem. Make sure you share this podcast with your family and your friends, please. Write us a 5-star review. It helps us reach new people. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.